Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
You're off. Well, Pastor Kevin assured me we'd finish at 11:45, so he's given me 5 minutes. Never tell a pastor he can start the meeting off. I understand that you did pray for Kevin and Sue last week, so that is correct, isn't it? You have prayed for you. Sent you out. You think so? They can't hear over there. I'll keep talking, otherwise they won't be able to turn it up, really, will they? Can you hear me over there now? They can't now. Right. That's why he turned it down. I'll keep away from those nasty monitors. It's a bit tough to follow that, really, you know. I want to tell you a story to begin with. There was this chap, he's not got a job, and he's been walking around the streets looking for something to do, and he sees a notice posted, jobs down at the zoo. So he thinks, oh, that's interesting, I'll go for that. So he walks down to the local zoo, and it turns out to be rather a strange occupation, actually, but, you know, he needs the money. So they say to him, look, what's happened to us is that our gorilla has died. He said, it's a star attraction at the zoo. The zoo is going to go down the pan unless we've got a gorilla. But so happens we have got this extremely good, well-made gorilla suit. So what you need to do is just dress up in the suit and go and sit in the gorilla cage, scratch a little bit, something like that, and you're drawing the crowd. So the guy thinks, well, this is a bit strange, but okay, I'll go for it. So he puts the suit on and he's out in this gorilla's cage and he's sitting there. And, you know, he begins to kind of like the attention. So, you know, he does a few more scratches and a few more, well, that's more monkey, but, you know, he just sits there and looks fat, whatever. And they start to throw in peanuts and he's enjoying the entertainment here. So he's sort of looking around the cage and he sort of tries, you know, a bit of gorilla walking. And more clapping and the crowd begins to grow. He thinks, this is good, I might get a bonus at the end of this. So he looks around for more he can do, and he sees that there's a rope swing there in the cage. So he's sort of grabbing onto the swing, and of course, when the gorilla gets on the swing, the crowd are cheering, they're all gathering around the cage, and so he starts to swing a bit higher, and he gets a bit higher, and a bit higher, and suddenly the rope snaps, and he flies. I don't know if you've ever seen a gorilla flying, but he flies right from one cage, right over into the cage next door, bang! In that cage is this rather huge, ferocious-looking lion. He looks up, and he sees this lion staring straight at him. Worse, he sees the lion coming straight for him. And this lion pounding over there. He looks very hungry. The guy begins to panic. This lion is getting close. He shrieks out, help, help, save me. I'm just a man in a gorilla suit. Someone get me out of here. The lion pounces right on him and says, shut up, you'll get us both fired. Now you know. That may have a point, it may not, you'll find out later. But at least you laughed. We are Kingdom Faith across the nation, but Kingdom Faith here as well, definitely. We're entering a new season. Amen. This is a time to cross over into promises that have been laid in this place for many, many years. That wasn't nostalgia that you were watching there. That was the life that has gone before, from which God will do something fresh and something new. Yeah. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to get behind me and Kate in that?
Yeah.
Okay, because God sent us up here from the south and we're loving it. Okay, we're really enjoying Yorkshire. We've been traipsing the streets of Scarborough, actually, looking for houses. And I tell you, we're just getting a heart for that town. We're getting a heart for... We're living here. It's just been fantastic. We're getting to know the house better. I've only been here about 3 times before and never actually had the opportunity to stay for very long. And so it's just great to really begin to... Oh, the sense of God, you know, in this house, the sense of God actually wanting to move in Yorkshire. How many Yorkshiremen do you know have been speaking it for probably centuries that this is God's own county? Well, let's start believing it. Amen. Amen. You've probably been believing it for ages, but I've only just started. So, you know, I'm catching up with you guys. This county is, like Kevin said earlier, it's going to be known for the name of Jesus. Yes. Yeah, next week, this is rather a strange thing to do. I'm telling you what I'm going to preach on next week. But next week, I'm going to talk to you on two key scriptures, I believe, for us as a church. One is Proverbs 18:10. Which you can look up in the week. I'm not going to tell you what it is now. And the other one is Matthew 2, verse 1. Both of them, I think, are prophetic over what God... Oh, you can't look them up now, Martin. Both of them are key, and I'll be speaking a little bit more on that and outlining, I think, what God is saying to us as a church. But this morning, I just want to underscore this idea. Not really an idea, more of a prophetic word, more of a vision, more of a dream, that we're going into something very, very new. Okay? And this happened, of course, or it's happened many times in the past to God's people. And when this happens, God's people always have a choice. We have a choice. We can go with God, or we can go our own way. And sometimes people will speak dire things over you if you go your own way. And actually, you know, quite often God does bless you when you go your own way. And you can still think you're doing what God wants, because you still often know God's blessing. But I want to lay before you over the next few Sundays where I believe God is taking us into the best. Okay, and you all very kindly said, yep, I'll get behind you and Kate just a minute ago. But let's find out exactly what that's going to mean, as far as I know. Because I think God will have a few surprises around the corner. I don't know about you. Whenever you think you've just got life stuffs, God comes along and upsets it, really, doesn't he? Yeah. You know, we thought we were called. Well, you see, it was a misunderstanding of what God had said to us. We thought we were called to Kingdom Faith Horsham for, well, if people used to ask us last year, we'd say probably another 20 years. Because it seemed we were so rooted in there, and so we were enjoying being part of Clive's leadership team and everything down there. That just seemed, and we've been saying that kind of thing for years. And then suddenly, God said this. But actually, what he'd said was, you'll be part of Kingdom Faith for years. And one of the great things that's already starting is very much we're part of the whole national work. It was great. I don't know if you saw the flowers on the way in. They were sent up from Storehouse in Cheshire. And Les and Dot sent us a check. That was also very nice. And it was just great to sort of feel the other churches loving us as leaders in a new place. And I think God is doing something there as well that's new. I mean, Clive and Jane are our friends, and we know the leadership down there extremely well. So what we want to do is help join those bonds much more tightly, so that we can see this national move of God, or international move of God that we're believing, of which this church is a very key and very crucial part. Yeah. It's going to be good. Yeah. It is going to be good. You know, as the band here struck up the first chord and we started singing Glory, Glory, and perhaps I should have done it, I don't know. I started to have tears coming down my cheeks. I thought, this is not an appropriate response to this song. Yeah, Sue's going to look over and think, oh no, he doesn't like it. So sort of, no. But it was just that sense of God's love for the people of Yorkshire, God's love for this church. But there's times of change. Now, the obvious one that you'd pick out of the Bible, and I believe it's the one God wants me to bring to you this morning, is Moses has brought the people out of Egypt, and he's brought them to the edge of a choice. Actually, I don't think this is the point we're at. I think we're at the point in the book of Joshua, but we're going to start here with Moses, with his people. And the Lord says to Moses, this is Numbers 13, right at the beginning, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. The Lord has said, I'm giving it to you. Yeah. All right? The Lord has said, I believe, I'll give you this land. Yeah. I'll give you the town of Scarborough. I'll give you Yorkshire. That has been so overwhelming to me. Now, he hasn't given it just to me. As your new pastor, he's given it to us as a church. You've probably been running with that for a while, and he's brought me into it to go with you and to lead you into that. But he is giving us this land. Now, it's more than just a land. It's the promises that you find throughout this whole book, of course. Okay, so don't get focused on just the land. There's many, many promises. I have a dream, or there is a dream, I believe, of having a church which is influencing a whole region. Okay, I have a dream of a church that is in many, many towns throughout Yorkshire and wider. Amen. I have a dream of a church where people come and are loved and accepted and are restored. Yeah. I think together we have a dream of a church where the blind see and the deaf hear and the lonely find friendship. I have a dream of a church that is just full of God's love. That people coming through the door of where the people are meeting, wherever it is, whether it's their front lounge or whether it's a school building or whether it's Lamplu, wherever it is, when people come through the front door, they feel and know the tangible presence and love of God. And the people of God that are in that room are desperate to share that love with them. I have a dream of a church that's growing week by week by week, not because I want a big church, but because I want to see lives impacted with the truth of Jesus Christ. I have a dream of a church that of a people that know who they are in Christ. A people who know what it is to be free in Christ. I have a dream of a church that's really just great fun to be at. So, I hope you're still in with this. I hadn't planned to say any of that. Right, the Lord said to Moses, let's get back to the script here. Send some people into the land to explore the land which I am giving to them. And then it gives this list of men. These are no sort of wimps. These aren't some bunch of, you know, well, let's see if we can find someone who's willing to go. Have we got any volunteers for exploring the promised land, you know? Mabel, great, thank you. No, it's not flower arranging this week. Promised land this week. No, it wasn't like that. Okay? You probably knew that, didn't you? Yeah. Anyway, and they choose 12 heroes, basically. Moses sent them out. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out. This is each ancestral tribe choosing one of their leaders. And you get this list of heroes from which there are two, obviously, that we're going to come back to. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. And from the tribe of Ephraim, Joshua, son of Nun. Okay, a list of others which we won't pronounce because I'll probably embarrass myself. So, these men go out and they explore the promised land. And I believe, as Christians, we've done a lot of this. We've done a lot of exploring of God's word. You know, I think you lot, you're Kingdom Faith people. It's only week 2, but you are now. We're Kingdom Faith people, and we tend to know our Bibles, don't we? Praise God. Well, we should know the Bible. That's what the people of God should do. And if we don't, you've got plenty of time left to get to know it. But as the people of God, we know our Bible. So we've explored the land. And I believe this new season is a time of taking hold of this land. It's not saying bad things have gone before. We saw from the video a lot of very happy people. Okay, it's saying there's good things ahead. Good things ahead. Anyway, these 12 go off into the and explore the promised land. And they come back. And Numbers 13, verse 27. They gave Moses this account. So they've come back. They're laden down with fruit. They've had a successful trip. And they say this. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Sounds pretty good. But they've already revealed one aspect that was in their heart that has caused this mission to fail. We went into the land to which you sent us. Moses didn't send them. If you go back to the beginning of that, it says, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore. Moses physically stood in front of them. Moses physically said to them, the Lord says we're to go into the promised land. But for whatever reason, they didn't capture the vision that it was the Lord that was sending them into the land, and it was the Lord that was giving them the land. I will give you the land, has already been spoken by the Lord to Moses. But the people, most of them, and these heroes, heard it from Moses. And there's a step where we, as the people of God, must be plugged in to the Lord. And listening to the Lord when somebody speaks up at the front here as well, just like those men were. And get the vision that when somebody's speaking, I'm not saying that I'm perfect and always going to give you the perfect word, but when I'm speaking or when one of the leadership team are up here speaking, don't just think that's what Martin says or that's what Paul says. think, yeah, that's the word of the Lord for us. Because when we know it's the word of the Lord, we won't lose the vision to take hold of the land. Okay? Right. You still with me?
Yeah.
I'm out of time. Right. apparently Peter's got a trap door at the front, so if I got he just frets the switch if I got on too long and I disappear, so and join J247, I guess. Hi kids. Right, anyway. Caleb is a man who's heard the word of God, and he stands up and he says, okay, it says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. He had heard the word of the Lord. Is there anybody here who's with me that thinks we can certainly do it?
Yes.
Any more?
Yes.
Are we united in this?
Yes.
We may be just a small little bunch, but we've got a great big God.
Yes.
Amen? We are going to see such adventure.
Right.
Yes. Are you ready?
Yes.
I think Matt's joining the church. Look at that smile. Right, anyway. So he says, we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And do you know what? They were right. If we cast our eyes out over Yorkshire, or if we cast our eyes into the town of Scarborough, which I believe is going to be strategic for what God wants to do with us, which is why we're trying to buy a house in Scarborough. We're going to buy our own bit of land and bless it and say, this is the bit, this is the first bit we're having. Okay? And we want the rest. We may not own the rest financially, but we will certainly own it spiritually. And every little house that you own or at the moment there in Scarborough, you claim that land and expect it to grow.
Yeah.
Amen? Hallelujah. And if you're thinking of moving to Scarborough, as it Nabil was telling me, you know, pray about that carefully, where exactly you're going to be. Okay? Because it will be a strategic place in that town to have an influence in that town, which will be an example to many other towns in years to come. Okay? As we outline this vision, I'm not talking 2 months. I might not even be talking 2 years. We are talking sort of 20 years. We're at the beginning of something new. And when God does something new, it builds and it builds. Yep, we'll see some adventure early on, but we'll also need to take hold of the long-term view. God is doing something new. But the people reply, they're stronger than we are. Yes, they are stronger in Yorkshire than us, on one sense. Stronger than us, but they're not stronger than our God.
Amen.
The Lord is the Lord of lords and the King of kings and the Mayor of mayors and the District Councillor of District Councillors. And the MD of MDs. You know, he is the boss. There is no one bigger. He's not up in heaven thinking, I wonder if I do a good job this year, whether I get promoted. All right? He's at the top. He's not going to get a pay rise. He's not going to get a bonus. He's there. He cannot go any further other than to see his glory increase in the nations. And his glory is increased in the nations when the people of God rise up and make the name of Jesus known, and we see the fruit of changed lives.
Yes.
Amen. You're in on this, aren't you?
Yeah.
There's some great expressions on your faces. You're a wonderful bunch to preach to. It's like, go for it, Paul, go for it. And it's like, all right, then I will. This is great, Kevin. Thank you very much. No, they don't. Right. Anyway, and they say, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Yeah, they looked out. You know, there'll be people in Scarborough who will look down on this new little church, or renewed little church, and sort of say, who are they? You know, little pipsqueaks meeting in a school, in a theatre, in a wherever we end up, on the beach if we have to, but we'll meet there, okay? Maybe beach in Yorkshire's not so... No, anyway. Especially as we're talking about the end of September. Having seen the beach in July. Anyway. But there'll be people that say they're just little grasshoppers, and we can join in with them and speak it over ourselves, or we can believe that in the Lord we are mighty men. That's what the Lord says over us.
Yeah.
That's what the Lord is speaking over us. And I, for one, am joining in with that.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. And the people get so depressed over this idea of taking it, because the task ahead of them looks so big. And I can promise you, church, at times the task ahead of us will look so enormous. We'll say, how could we ever afford that building? will say, how can we ever manage with those kind of numbers? How can I ever manage to go and walk that difficult estate and meet people on that estate who I don't relate to one way at all? So there will be great difficulties ahead. We will look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. But the Lord says, you're mighty. You will do great deeds in my name. And we will be tempted to say, if only Pastor Kevin and Sue had stayed. Actually, it says, that was the nearest thing I could find. It actually says, if only we'd died in Egypt. But that's sorry. I'll move swiftly on. I could get into trouble there. We should choose a leader and go back. We'll choose a leader and go and find where he went to. And we'll be with him. We'll go back to what we had. Or maybe we'll go back to what Pastor Gary Rumbold did. You know, we'll find something comfortable from the past. Because when you look back, it always looks more comfortable than going ahead. Yes. Okay? And we'll go and find something that's a much easier. Because you will feel like that, I promise you. I'm such an inspiring leader. You will feel like that. These people felt like that, and there was such promise ahead. Can you imagine? They didn't have to do the whole wandering in the desert for 40 years and most of them dying off thing. Neither do we. We've got a choice. We've got a choice today. We've got a choice probably each day from now on, and then we get the next challenge in. Are you ready, Warwick Ian? Are you coming? Are you ready for the adventure? We'll go for it then. Okay, now. But the whole, this was the response anyway to Caleb standing up and Moses sort of saying, this is the word of the Lord. And Aaron fell face down in front of the whole crowd, it says, interceding for the Lord. And the whole assembly talked about stoning them. That was the people's response to the leader's inspiring message. Let's stone them. And there might be times when you feel like stoning me. He said what? Actually, I wasn't going to mention this morning, but I remember speaking of this of other leaders. You know, we do this to leaders as Christians if we're not careful. When we start, you know, when we're uncomfortable, when we've been personally challenged often, or when something's not quite happening the way we expected it, and we start to talk to somebody else about it, we moan a little bit and we begin to go, you know what that is? It's picking up stones and throwing them at your leaders. I'm not saying you can't be open and you can't come to your leaders and say, we think this is rubbish. You know, do that. And we'll say, no, it isn't. And you'll say, yes, it is. And I'll say, no. Anyway, don't go there, Paul. That's too far. Anyway, they talked about stoning them. And it takes Moses and Aaron to intercede because the Lord just says, well, I'm just going to wipe this generation out. I just can't do anything with them. They don't believe me, basically. So what can I do? And Moses and Aaron intercede for the people of God and say, look, Lord, you've promised. And the Lord relents. Basically, it says, the Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you asked. What power in our prayer. As we intercede for Yorkshire, as we intercede for Scarborough, I believe I have the Lord in heaven saying, I have forgiven them as you asked. And we'll see that move of God. We were at the university campus, Scarborough campus, University of Hull in Scarborough yesterday. And it was interesting as the dean stood up and he was talking about Scarborough as a Renaissance town. Scarborough is on the up. I believe God's blessing is already there. From what Martin has been telling me about, of the church leaders working together, as the leaders have come together, it's been releasing blessing. A lot of it through the on-the-move thing that's happening in August, and I know Kate and I want to be involved with that, and if any of you can be involved with that, get involved with that, because I think that will be one of the first sort of steps towards seeing that work established there in Scarborough. It'll be a very selfless, I think, thing to be involved, because in a sense, we don't have a presence in Scarborough in the summer. You know, we've stopped meeting in Fallsgrave, haven't we? So we're all here together. But I believe it would be important in us to, with our hearts, get in this vision for what's happening there. And this house is strategic. This house is a special place. Pastor Colin talks, and I don't know this personally, so I'm really repeating something that Pastor Colin has said. Pastor Colin talks that in the 70s, which is nearly 40 years ago, interestingly, 1970, and then on, in the late 60s, of God moving among his people. You've probably heard him talk about it, haven't you? And of there being a revival amongst God's people. I'm not talking just about where he was based, but I'm talking about in churches across this land. He witnessed, and he says the people were given a choice, basically of revival or renewal. And the church really chose renewal. Let's renew the church and we can take the land, sort of thing. They focused on the church. And I believe it was a bit like 40 years. You see, because they didn't choose it at this point, and they wandered 40 years in the desert. And desert sounds awful, but let's bear in mind that God provided everything that they needed. And in that time, God gave them the tabernacle, the law. He gave them their shoes, never wore out. He gave them a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. He gave them an incredibly gifted leader. It was actually a very blessed time. It might have got a bit boring going around circles in the sand, but it was a very blessed time. And they moaned, yes, they moaned. They wanted meat and the Lord gave them quail. But yes, every day there was this manna to collect. They didn't have to grow crops. They didn't have to get the tractor out. They didn't even have to cut the grass. Maybe we should all be in the desert. No. I'm not a great grass cutter. I blew our lawnmower up the week before we left. It wasn't deliberate, I told Kate. It's like, yes, we're going, bang. But no. Anyway. Caleb, amongst these people, you see, was the one that stood up and said, we can certainly do this. You just now with me were saying, yeah, we could certainly do this. And therefore, regardless of what's gone before, regardless of whether you can sort of say there's been a 40 years of waiting for God to give a choice again, I'm not sure you can have an exact parallel, but I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. God spoke over Caleb, but because my servant Caleb is a different spirit, and follows me wholeheartedly, I will give him the land he went into, and his descendants shall inherit it. This is not just a promise for our generation here, it's a generation for our children, and our children's children, and our children's children. That's what I'm talking about when I have a dream of something different. I want to see something that infects, that's a good word, I wasn't going to say that, infects generation after generation after generation. I want something that if the Lord tarries, people in 200 years' time are still looking at what God has done, but are still living in it. Maybe that's a bit adventurous. Maybe that's a bit dangerous to believe for, but I don't want to just believe for something that's going to happen for 5 years or 10 years and be a great blessing for us and we'll have a lovely holy time and enjoy the good songs. I don't want that. I want to enjoy the good songs, but I want something that influences generations. I believe we have a dream here together of a church that's influencing a city, a town, a country, a nation. It's a people of influence. And many times in the past we talk about God making an impact. Yes, God makes an impact, but then his people carry influence. And influence goes on from day to day, from week to week, from month to month, and changes generations, and thereby changes the nation. From here, we'll pray, we'll seek the Lord together, and we'll see things change down in London in Westminster. Amen? We have influence in the Spirit, and we're going to have influence in our towns and villages around here where we're living. We're going to see different times. Okay, we're going to work forward. Yes, we're going to start in Scarborough, but as time goes on, I believe we'll see other churches in other towns. How long, Pastor Paul? I don't know. It might be 2 years, it might be 20 years, it might be 50 years, it might be somebody else, our children, that carry that final vision. But we'll hold it up before you now and say, do you want to be in on this? Yeah. Are you in on this?
Yeah.
They're not asleep yet, Kevin. They're a nice bunch. Anyway, his descendants will inherit it. And so, basically, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. It says, until the generation that had said no died off. Only those who were under 20 at that point lived, other than Caleb and Joshua, who also lived. And this is the point I think we're at. I think God has offered this choice to our nation before. Probably many times before. And we can be a generation that says yes or no. And if we say no, we can be blessed. We've got a nice house here. We've got a great worship team. We've got a great bunch of people. We can have great friends. But we won't see the actual purpose and destiny that God has placed before us lived out. And I believe God has sent me and Kate here to lead you in that purpose and destiny. Not because we're great leaders, but just because we've been chosen. Okay, we all have got an individual calling and destiny on our lives as part of this church that God will bring to the front. Sometimes we know what it is, sometimes we haven't got a clue. I'm very blessed to be able to stand to you at the front today and say, this is what God's called me to do at this time in my life. It's such a blessing. But you don't always know that. I've gone through periods in my life of thinking, where am I going? I was thinking about, if you'd asked me a year ago, you know, I would have talked to you like that. Where am I going? Because, you know, many of you know, I've led J24/7 and the children's work, as well as being part of the leadership team in Kingdom Faith. But the children's work took up 50-60% of my time, and it was fantastic, and we were mightily blessed, and I still like working with children. But God had never, ever spoken to me, believe it or not, about working with children. Ever. In vain, I'd wait in a meeting, you know, for at least a prophetic word from the Lord. Okay, maybe I was deaf. Maybe I couldn't get this thing that said, you're a children's worker. Okay? But so maybe, you know, the speaker at the front will pick me out, Anne. You are called. Well, except that the speaker wouldn't have called me Anne, because that would have been a bit funny. And you probably would have doubted the prophecy somewhat after that, wouldn't you? But anyway, it never happened. It never happened. That's not my calling, is to lead God's people. And they can be 6 or 60 or 106. It doesn't matter. You can walk in your calling. And you will discover yours. I doubt very much there is a calling as children's worker, to be honest. There's just a bunch of people who are servant-hearted that walk in the calling that's on their life and work with our younger people. Yeah? Anyway, we're not with the time of Moses, okay? I'm not drawing an exact parallel. I'm not saying that Kevin's Moses and I'm Joshua. He doesn't look like Burt Lancaster anyway. He hasn't got the white hair that he's got in the film. You're doing well there. You must colour it. Anyway. Actually, looking closely, I've got more than you, so that's a bit scary. I think you won't be. No, we won't go there. You might well be. Anyway, I'm not saying that we're a Moses and a Joshua. But the parallel is there in the terms of Kevin has led you before, and now God has chosen somebody new to lead in a new time. Moses was a great leader. Joshua was a great leader. They both had very, very different tasks. And as I come to the end of what I'm talking to you about this week, we are going into a new season with a new leader who's probably got a very different style to Kevin. I will do things in unusual ways, probably. Unusual for you, or maybe you just think that's plain unusual, I don't know. Or plain weird. And I'll probably step on toes because something's been done like that for 15 years and I didn't know. And sometimes I'll be very apologetic and sometimes I say I don't care. This is what we're doing this time. Okay? Because it's going to be different. And we've got a great leadership team up here. We saw them all standing up the front praying earlier for Shirley. And roles will change. But at the moment, where we are at the moment, God has gathered us together at Lamplugh House for this summer to hear the word of the Lord together. Yeah. So relate to your leaders exactly as you've related to them before. Okay, nothing in that sense is changing. Martin's still Pastor Martin. Okay, I'm not a great one for you always calling me pastor. If you're at my house, well, I haven't got one at the moment, but if you're at my house, or, I'm with you in a friendship situation, please just call me Paul. Pastor Paul can be such a barrier. You know, I use it with the kids because it's sort of become a bit of a, it's almost become my sort of fun name with the children, you know, like Ishmael before me and Pastor Paul. At Faith Camp, they're disappointed if I don't sign Pastor Paul, so I actually have to sign Pastor Paul. But you don't have to do that, okay? And I'm not signing anything for you, Pastor Paul. I just say, we were joking on, will they be really frightened up there in Yorkshire, you know, when he gets there? You know, will he come in with the new Kingdom Faith Yorkshire t-shirt and cap? And actually, in a minute, we're getting a few of you up to learn the new Kingdom Faith Yorkshire dance, which all dances, as you know, involve this in some way, or maybe that one. Okay? So it will have that in it, and we'll get on to that perhaps next week. We'll clear the chairs out of the way. Some of you are hoping that I'm joking. Kate's hoping that I'm joking. I'm hoping that I'm joking too. Anyway, so we're beyond the Moses. I think we're at the point that Joshua faced when he was given the choice again. Are you going to go in and take hold of the promise? And Caleb, of course, was there with him. But let's just finish with some scriptures here that God said at that time to Joshua. So therefore, he's saying them to us at this time. Okay? Here's just a few. I'm not going to expand on these. I'm just going to read a few to them to you. In Joshua chapter 1, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Sounds good. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is going into the promised land. This is taking hold of the promises of God. This is what we're going to be speaking over ourselves. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Why did God keep saying this to Joshua? Because it was going to be difficult. There were going to be times when he doubted himself and doubted his God. There'll be times when we'll doubt what we believe. We'll wonder whether we're even saved. Don't you ever feel like that sometimes? You wonder if the whole thing's a big sham? That's normal. We all get to feel like that when we're down or things have gone wrong. You start to think, have I been wasting all my life? Should I have just been out driving fast cars? Wasn't that funny, Claire? No one will be able to stand up with you. I will never leave or forsake you. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey, that you may be successful wherever you go. Let's obey the word of the Lord. Be careful to do everything written in my word. Then you will be prosperous and successful. God wants us to be a prosperous and successful church. Not just financially, but in everything that we do. And God wants us to be prosperous and successful financially. I've been really encouraged to find out that we've got, is it Mike and Katie, running the bookshop in Scarborough? You're over there, sorry. And Kate, sorry. It's not the word of the Lord. And then we've got, and that name escapes me, but you're running a bookshop. Carol and John Foster. Yeah. Yes. You're running a bookshop in Filey. I mean, this is taking the land and running prosperous and successful businesses. This is good. Yeah? I don't know what other businesses you've got. You might be farmers or... prosperity and success financially, but also in everything that we do. That's why we are going to see a church that's growing, because the call is to be prosperous and successful. I have a dream of building the best church there is in Scarborough. Well, why aim for second best? I'm not in competition with any of the others. I just want the best of God. Yeah, I'm not going to look at the others and think, are we the best yet? Oh, yes, we are. No. We're already the best in Yorkshire anyway. But I mean the best thing that God has for us. Yeah? And I know we're the best. We are the best in Yorkshire, aren't we? Yeah? Do you know, there's this survey done that they keep quoting down in Horsham about Horsham is the second best or second nicest town to live in the country. Do you know why? Scarborough's the first. apparently they say it's Winchester, but we don't believe any of that. Scarborough's the revival town, not Renaissance town. Anyway, just a couple more. Be careful, you've done that one. Oh, it's a good one. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So the Lord ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. And that's what we're really doing over this summer. We're getting the supplies ready. We'll be meeting together. We've got God Encounter, haven't we, on Thursday this week. Okay, God Encounters, I don't really know what's happened before, so I can't say they're going to be different because they might be identical. But there's a scripture that really just came to mind this morning. This is the one we're finishing with, I promise you. It is my very first one, so you've got to give me extra grace, but it's quarter past 12. Anyway, what should we say then, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or three at the most, should speak at one time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet and speak to himself to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy. Stop at that one, just for the extra emphasis there. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. In other words, nobody's a wild canon who's come in from some strange church and has a word for the church. That's absolute rubbish. That doesn't happen. Somebody visits and has a strange word for the church. It's a strange word and you don't know it. You ignore it. Okay? That was a bit strong. Maybe that's going to happen. For God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. Amen? As in all the congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. I can't stop reading in scripture. They're not allowed to speak, but must be in submission to the law. There was a problem in Corinth with the women chatting through the service. They would sit and talk to one another about what was going on, or maybe it was their shopping, I don't know. And Paul had to address a very serious issue. The women in Corinth tended to be the more mature believers. And the men were doing some of the leading, and they'd sit and discuss the talks. From what we know of, you know, history. And another version was sometimes the women would call out across the room, "What's he saying? What does he mean?" Or maybe a lady would come up the front and have a word from the Lord, and you know, the Apostle Paul probably was there, you know, and then another lady would come up, "Don't listen to the Apostle. Now, I have a word." That's not order. There has to be God's order in these things. But this is how I imagine the God encounter session being, with everybody coming with something from God. And you might think, oh, I won't have had my hour's quiet time beforehand. I'm not talking about having an hour's quiet time. I'm just talking about you coming in your relationship with God. I'm not talking about forcing everybody to have a prophecy. But what I know is going to happen over this summer is we're going to hear the word of the Lord. We'll need to have a pad of paper and a pen and stuff like that there and begin to record what God says to us. Because it will be foundational for what is going to happen. It's a bit like those two scriptures, the Proverbs 18:10 and Mark 2:1. Actually, God didn't give them to me. He gave them to members of our body here. And then they gave them to me, and God said, those are words. Okay? Those are the words that you've been looking for. And that's how God's going to work amongst us. We will hear God. We're not going to be like Aaron and Miriam, which was just before the passage we read, who suddenly said, we can hear God, we don't have to do what you say. That's not quite the same thing. Okay? But it's about all of us coming together. So, we can finish there. We're finished with the last bit of that chapter. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and don't forbid speaking in tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. That's the word of the Lord. That's what we'll do. It doesn't mean it might be a bit noisy or even a bit chaotic sometimes in our life of our church, but we don't let it stay like that all the time. We just do it in the right way. Because we're going to find that our church gets messy. Our church will be chaotic because there's going to be people getting saved who don't know how to behave. And praise God, maybe they'll liven us up as well. Although you're a pretty lively bunch, so I'm not sure it's possible. But, yeah, there's going to be people coming in that make it messy. It's not talking about that kind of mess. It's talking about us as the people of God doing things in the right way, submitting to the leadership as you should, submitting to one another, as the Word of God says, as we should. And the most important one of all, loving one another. Let's let a love arise amongst us where we're so bound closely together that anybody who comes into this church just cannot fail to be touched by God's love, operating through us and directly. Are you with me on that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. That's it. I'm not going to have a response, because I want your response to be, and I've sort of finished and I'm carrying on, but you probably pressed the stop button at the night. Our response is this week go away, take what I've said to you, what you can remember, whatever scriptures are there, and think to yourself, pray, am I in this? I'm not saying you're not in it if you don't turn up Thursday. I'm not saying that at all. I just suddenly thought somebody might be interpreting it that way. But on Thursday, we'll try and, I don't know, we'll set the chairs up in this L-shaped room. We've had them in a ring before, but there might be more here. I don't know. But we'll hear God together, we'll get the word of the Lord together. We'll prophesy, we'll speak in tongues. We'll probably have organised somebody to do some music. And we'll have a good time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.